Matthew chapter 21 and John chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 21, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12, and read down through verse 16. Then we'll look over at the Gospel of John. So find Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. And follow along, if you would, as I read aloud. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Then look, if you would, at John chapter 2, verse number 13, we find a very similar story here. John chapter 2 and verse 13. And here is written, After this he went to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. On two separate occasions, Jesus cleansed the temple. This morning, I want you to see the extreme measure that the Lord will go to keep his temple clean. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here this morning. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the giving. We thank you for the praying. And Father, we're in need of the Word of God. Father, our country today is in need of the Word of God. And Father, we as believers this morning are in need of the preaching of the Word of God. You've emphasized it throughout the Bible. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help the Scriptures to come alive before our eyes. Father, may the Spirit of God be our guide and our teacher here this morning. And Father, may you show us some things that Father, maybe we understand but don't completely realize. Father, maybe some things that are new to us here this morning, but I pray that everything that's said would come from the Word of God. Father, what's not from your Word, may it fall by the wayside. But God, what is true to your Word, what comes from the precious Word of God, may it speak to our hearts and, Father, challenge us. Should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, Father, you'd speak especially to that heart. Show them their need for Christ in their life. Bring them today to a saving knowledge. Father, for we that are saved, may you just challenge us. Father, to do what we can to be pleasing in your sight, to be used of you in this world. Bless your word to each and every heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start back here in Matthew chapter 21, and we'll go over to John chapter 2 in just a moment. But I want you to see, as we read this morning, that on two different occasions, Jesus Christ cleansed the temple. In John chapter 2, it's actually at the beginning of his ministry. You understand that Matthew and Luke both write about the Lord Jesus Christ beginning at his birth. But Mark and John begin writing at his ministry. And so they pick up 30 years after Matthew and Luke do. So when we read John chapter 2, we're reading at the beginning of his earthly ministry. We're reading about Jesus at 30 years of age. And just as he began his earthly ministry, he went into the temple at Jerusalem there in John chapter 2 and found things out of order and not to his pleasing, and he cleaned the temple. He cleansed the temple in John chapter 2. Not 3 years later, in Matthew chapter 21, near the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus comes back to Jerusalem for that Passover feast and finds his temple exactly like it was before he cleansed it 3 years earlier. And so here in Matthew chapter 21, we're reading about the second time that Jesus cleansed the temple. And we find then that the Bible tells us that the temple is in need of regular cleansing. One cleansing of the temple is not enough. It has a tendency to get dirty. It has a tendency to become defiled. It has the tendency to get corrupted. Do you see that about the temple? Notice in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God. And he said, he cast out them and sold and bought in the temple. In verse number 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple. This whole scene takes place in the temple. John chapter 1, in the temple. The temple needed cleansed. In John chapter 2, later in Matthew chapter 1, the temple needed cleansed. And we read some things about the temple here in Matthew chapter 21. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is the purifying of the temple. The purifying of the temple. Notice in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12. And Jesus went out into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. Now, if you've probably heard this preached on before and you know the scene that's taking place, it says that he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. We hear a lot about the turn the other cheek Jesus. Well, here's the turn the tables Jesus. He was a man of compassion, a man of love, a man of caring. He healed the sick. But when it came to the defiling of the temple, it wasn't turning the other cheek, it was turning over the tables. There was something about a defiled temple that bothered the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he purifies the temple. He cast out those that sold and bought. He overthrew the tables of the money changers. He turned over the seats of them that sold doves. Now we understand what's going on here in the temple at the time of Jesus being there. When Jesus came into the temple, this was the place for the yearly worship, the Passover. And the temple itself was the sanctuary inside, but the temple was surrounded by the temple courtyard, which writers estimate was about the size of 14 football fields. That was the size of the outer courtyard. And in the outer courtyard were these people that were making these exchanges. They were selling lambs, they were selling turtle doves. For the people that came from a long distance to worship God, they would come to Jerusalem. Once they came into the gate to the outer temple, there was a place where they could buy the oxen, they could buy the lamb, they could buy the turtle dove to make as a sacrifice to the Lord on the Passover. The wealthier people, as you know, would buy the lambs. The poorer people would buy the turtle doves, and they would offer them as a sacrifice. So to accommodate them, so that if they came from a long distance, they wouldn't have to bring these animals with them. These merchants sold them in the outer court, in the courtyard, so that they could buy them there to have them for a sacrifice. Not really a bad thing. There were also money changers there. Because the Jews that had been dispersed were coming from all countries all over the world, but the temple only accepted temple money. They did not accept the secular money of the world. They did not want coins with Caesar's imprint on them inside the temple. You had to have temple coins in there to offer as an offering or a temple tax before the Lord. So the money changers would sit there in that courtyard. And when people came from a different country with the Roman or Greek or whatever coinage they had, they would come and exchange that so that they could have temple coins to give in the offering for the temple. There were men there selling doves. They were there to accommodate these that were coming to buy the sacrifice. So the scene is okay. The scene is pleasing. But when the Lord came in and saw what was going on, He was displeased. Not everything that meets the eye that looks good is right. Not everything that goes on in the name of Christ, in the name of God, in the name of the temple is right. Guard yourself from being a gullible Christian. A gullible Christian is one that sees something that possesses itself or prevents itself as being spiritual, and they obviously accept it because it looks spiritual. The Bible says we need to be able to discern good from evil. And evil sometimes disguises itself as good. And many times Christians are unaware. Jesus came into the temple. All that was going on by the eyes of the priests and the eyes of the scribes, the eyes of the men there, everything looked fine. But when Jesus looked at it, he saw it differently from everybody else. Because he saw, first of all, that the money changers that were exchanging that were not exchanging it at an honest rate. They were taking the coinage from the different lands and giving them temple tax, but they were giving them 90 cents on the dollar, maybe 75 cents on the dollar. They were ripping them off. The people that were selling the oxen, that were selling the turtle doves, that were selling the doves there, they were selling them, but at an extreme price, because after all, kind of like buying a hot dog at the ballpark, isn't it? You can't buy it anywhere else. You're going to pay the price they ask you. And so here at the temple in the outer courtyard, they knew that they wanted a sacrifice. They'd pay the price. They were overcharging the people. And Jesus looked at the dishonesty and the defilement, and he got upset. And he didn't turn the other cheek. He didn't look the other way. He came and turned over the tables. And he drove them out. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, you need not turn there, but you might want to write it down. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says this, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Here in the temple, Jesus said, all right, it's time to clean house. It's time to get the temple right. Not everything that's going on is God-pleasing. It might have the appearance of something spiritual. It might have the appearance of something good, but inside and down deep, the motive is wrong, what they're doing is wrong, and Jesus cleaned it out. I want you to turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You say, preacher, what does all that mean? What has it got to do with us? The temple's not here anymore. Are you liking the temple to the church? Well, we could to a certain extent. We could talk about this being the house of God, and we need to be careful what comes out in the house of God. But can I tell you, when the Bible called that place the temple of God, there's a more precise illustration than the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Paul writing to the believer, Paul writing to the Christian, says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" This illustration given to us in Matthew 21 and Luke and John chapter 2 is not just so we can read historically about how Jesus was upset by the defilement of the temple and how he came in and purified it. But it's given as an illustration for us later as we read the New Testament to find out that there is a new temple of God, and that temple of God is you. That temple of God is you if you're born again. That temple of God is you if you're saved. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are the temple of God. God dwells in you. Verse number 16 goes on to say, "And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God," the temple of God, "him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye?" Look over, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, we find the same thing presented to us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Paul writes and says again to the believers, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." The Bible is very careful and very precise, very, very intricate to give us the exact same phrasing so that we get it and we understand it. That Jesus, when he went into the temple, was not satisfied with what he saw in the temple. By outward appearance, it looked fine. But the motive and the designs of the heart were wicked. So Jesus cleansed the temple. Today, you and I are the temple of God. Individually, you are God's temple. And when God looks in, he doesn't want to just see a nice outward appearance. He doesn't want to just see a cloak of spirituality. He wants to see that the motives of the heart are right and sincere in worshiping God. And if not, what's he going to do? If not, what did he do? What, if not, what's the pattern he said? He cleanses the temple. He purified the temple back here in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. It is interesting to note that Jesus, while he was alive, never tried to straighten out society. Now, I might think about it. Was society moral? Was society righteous? Was society good and bad that day? No, obviously not. The church at Corinth that Paul wrote to a little bit later, there was a bunch of immorality going on. That was simply to the times of Jesus. But Jesus in his ministry did not try to fix society, straighten out society. You know why? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then, basically, he would straighten out society. But what did he straighten out? He straightened out the temple. You know what God's interested in right now? And I believe he's interested in America. I believe he's interested in the direction we're going. I believe he's interested in society in that degree. But you know what he's more interested in than society? He's interested in the temple of God, which is you. Jesus isn't going to come down and straighten out society. He's going to come and straighten out his temple. Which temple are ye? Jesus purified the temple. Now go over to John chapter 2, if you would. Let's notice the second thing. Now again, this is the second occasion in which Jesus cleansed the temple. We know it's different because the details are different. The wording is different. What Jesus said is different. And when we research and look into it, we find out there's a 3-year span between these two occasions. So again, the temple needs continual cleansing. And you mark that down. The temple needs continual cleansing. You and I, our temple needs continual cleansing. In John chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. That's similar to Matthew 21. But here's the difference. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple. The difference between the first account and the second account, John's account and Matthew's account, one of the differences, and in John's account here at the beginning of his ministry, he made a scourge of small cords. That is a whip. Jesus made a whip to drive the animals out of that outer court. That which was satisfactory in the eyes of worshipers was corrupt in the eyes of the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to permit this in my house. So he made a scourge of small cords. And I want you to notice, he didn't whip the people with the cords. He drove out the animals with the cords. Now, I want you to hold your place there and go over to Hebrews chapter 12. There's some wonderful truth here in the Word of God, folks, in these things. Hebrews chapter 12. You and I are the temple of God. Individually as believers, we are God's temple. God is as interested in our purity right now as He was the temple of God back in His earthly day. He's interested in the purification of His temple, the purity of His temple. Too many times we get thinking, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I live better than those folks, and I try to do better than those folks. We compare ourselves among ourselves, which the Bible says is not wise. And we don't realize that Jesus isn't looking us in light of the person next to us. He's looking at us as His temple. Is it clean? Is it pure? Is it purged? In Matthew, He purified the temple. In John, He purged the temple. And by purging, I mean He took some active force to get it cleaned out. In Matthew, He went over and turned over the tables and turned over the chairs, and I can imagine that seller of doves sitting in the chair as Jesus just ripped that chair out from under him and he fell to the ground. But in John's account, when he's purging, he's making a scourge of cords and driving the animals out of the temple. He's using force to clean out that temple. If you and I in our lives allow the dirt and the baggage to defile us and to come in and to come in and to come in, Jesus eventually is going to walk in and say, I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to permit this. I'm going to drive this out. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, Paul is writing here and says, For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Now we say that in our modern vernacular, if you love your children, you'll spank them. Now the world's philosophy on that is completely different from a Christian's philosophy on that, I understand. But that's what the Bible's saying. If you're a child of God, and you do wrong, you defile the temple, God is going to clean the temple. He's going to take you to the woodshed. He's going to do something. He's not going to tolerate it. You know how to raise a brat? Never tell them no. You know how to raise a wild child? Never discipline them and correct them. And there's a lot of that going on in the world today. If you don't believe it, just go to Walmart. Sit on the bench and view it for just a little while and watch the things going on. Watch the lack of control. Jesus says, if we're a son of God, and that dirt comes in and that defilement comes in, He is going to chastise us. That's a promise of God. Look at what it says in verse number 7. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If God sees our temple defiled, dirty, cluttered by sin, by ungodliness, by wickedness, He is going to, if we're His son, according to the Bible, as I understand it, if we are His son, He's going to do something about it. I had this conversation with my 9-year-old daughter, I have to clarify which daughter it was, my 9-year-old daughter last night. Went to lay down Michael in the bed and about killed myself, tripping over stuff, trying to get him into the room to lay him in the bottom bunk of the bed. So I had a nice talk with my daughter. And I said, either you're going to clean this room or I'm going to clean this room. I don't want to come in here and have to trip over stuff because there's stuff all over the floor. Hold it, you know, we won't go into detail. But I said, either you're going to clean it or I'm going to clean it, and it would behoove you, don't know what that word means, but it sounded good, it would behoove you to clean it before I do. Because if I clean it, I'm coming in with a bag, and everything's going in the bag, and you might never see it again. But if you clean it, you can put it away. You know, that's exactly what the Lord does with us. He looks at us as His temple. We are His house. And He looks at everything we do, and everything we say, and everywhere we go. And you know what He sees a lot of times? He sees clutter. He sees a mess. He sees dirt. He sees defilement. And He says, I'm warning you. You can clean it, or I can clean it. And if I'm going to clean it, I'm going to make a scourge of small cords. And I'm going to come in, and I'm going to clean it out. Jesus will purge His temple. And Hebrews tells me here in these verses right here that if He doesn't do it, if you and I can throw dirt in that temple and get it defiled and get it dirty and make it a bad testimony for our Lord and bring disgrace upon His name, if we can do that and He doesn't do anything about it, according to Hebrews, you are none of His. Now, I don't want to be the judge of your salvation. And I will not try to be the judge of yourself. But you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me if you get out of the will of God and do things that He doesn't want you to do, He's going to do something about it. And if He never acts or never responds or never does anything, it's because you don't belong to Him. So you and I make the observation, we see other believers, and again, not by judging them, but just making observations, that's a good thing to do. Learn by observation. You go to Walmart and see those people, don't be like them. Learn by observation. We learn by observation that if somebody is claiming to be a Christian and living an ungodly life, either God's chastising them and that's why they're so miserable, or they're getting away with it because they don't belong to God in the first place. Because Jesus will always purge His temple. I don't know about you. I think I do. I would much rather clean this up first than have to have the Lord do it. I'm a little more easy on myself than the Lord would be. So I need to deal with the things in this temple. I need to deal with the things in my life every single day so I don't build them up far enough where God says, time for me to step in. Time for me to come into the temple. Time for me to make the scourge of cords. He will do it. He promises He will do it. And we want Him to do it. That little child that you're raising and you tell them no, or you take a form of correction for them. When they're 18 years old, they might not know to say thank you, but if they could see the whole picture, they'd say thank you. Thank you for warning me. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for telling me not to touch the hot stove. Thank you for telling me not to stick my finger in the light socket. Thank you for smacking my fingers gently, but smacking it firmly the first time you did it. And if we don't do those things of correction, and they grow up not to heed any warnings and not to listen to anybody else's advice, and they grow up a rebel against God, I'd much rather have the correction. I would rather pray, Lord, if I'm straying, bring me back in the right way. Do whatever it takes, God. Now, that's a hard prayer to pray, isn't it? Do whatever it takes, Lord, to get me in the right direction. But make sure your heart's willing to spot the things that are defiling the temple so you can get yourself back there before He has to do it. In Matthew, there was the purifying of the temple. In John, there's the purging of the temple. And the purging is drastic. The purging is drastic. I have known people that I'm convinced God was purging their life. I have been convinced that there are people that claim to be believers that got outside of the will of God that suffered consequences for it that I believe was the chastisement of God. And I'm thankful for that chastisement because at least that tells me that person was a believer. Because if that professed believer could walk outside the path of God and nothing happened, no chastisement, no correction by God, according to Hebrews, you're none of His. So we as believers thank God when He chastises us. Thank God when He corrects us. And thankfully, it's not so much us that He's whipping, but He's cleaning the things out. He's driving the other things out of our life, but we're so attached to Him that we miss them. Then we say we're suffering because God took something away that we were clinging to that God didn't want in our life. He drives it out. The purifying of the temple, the purging of the temple. Now go back to Matthew chapter 21. My last point. Don't think that means we're almost done. It's just my last point. And it has three subpoints. Matthew chapter 21. The temple has a purpose. There were those that defiled the purpose of the temple. So Jesus had to come in and clean the house. He wanted that temple to be used for its right purpose. Now we're talking about that physical temple that Jesus, and we're comparing it to what the Bible says, we are now the temple of God. So what is the purpose of the temple? Notice here in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 13. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You know what the temple was used for back in Jesus' day? It was a place of prayer. The Jews would gather there and there would be a call for them to come together and to pray. And what was happening in the outer courtyard was clogging up the divine purpose of the temple. You know what happens in our lives when stuff clogs up the purpose of our temple? We don't pray. We don't talk to God. You know why? We're embarrassed. How can you talk to God when you know you're not living right? How can you talk to God when you know you're doing things that He wouldn't approve of? So what do? Well, instead of cleaning up the things, we stop talking to God. That's what happened here. And He said, my house is a house of prayer. You and I can gauge our relationship with our God by the amount of time we spend talking to Him. You know what they say the number one rule for a good marriage is? Communication. There's got to be communication. You know the number one rule for a good, successful Christian life? Communication. But that communication is with God. And so the purpose, the number one purpose for the temple, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But, when they clogged up the temple, it was no longer a house of prayer. When they defiled the temple, it was no longer a house of prayer. How clean is our temple? How much time do we spend praying? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When we get down on our knees to pray or bow our heads as we're sitting at the table, wherever it is that we call on the name of God, when we call on that, we have to come with a clean slate. That's why most of the time when we pray, we say, Father, forgive me for the sins that I have committed. Cleanse me, cleaning the temple. Your temple was designed to be a house, a place of prayer. How successful is our temple at fulfilling its purpose, being a place of prayer? How much do we pray? How much do we communicate with God? And again, prayer, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. When you're driving your car, please don't bow your head and pray. So pray without ceasing doesn't mean necessarily bowing your head to pray. It just means being in an attitude of communicating with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes to talk to God. You were designed to be a place of prayer. Notice the next verse. Notice verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Notice the emphasis of in the temple. The temple he just cleansed. The temple where he just drove the defilement out. Now it tells us, after the temple was cleansed, verse 14, and the blind and the lame came into the temple and he healed them. You notice who came to him? The blind and the lame. Where were they? Where were they before the cleanse? You know what? All the emphasis was on buying the doves and changing the money. All the emphasis was all these stuff. And the people that needed help were not being helped. The merchants were helping those that were there to buy and sell different things, and they weren't helping the people that needed the help. So Jesus had to come in and clean everything out before he could help those that were most in need of being helped. You know what happens when this temple gets defiled and it gets cluttered? We're not helping those that are in most need of help. The focus gets self-centered. The emphasis gets put in the wrong place. We're too busy with this and too busy with that, the merchandising and the selling and the buying and all that, and we're not helping those that are in need of help. How did he help them? The Bible says he healed them. You know what that is? That's power. When the temple is clean, when the temple is clean, it's a place of prayer. When the temple is clean, it's a place of power. He healed them. Where did he heal them? In the temple. You want power in your life? I'm not necessarily talking about power in politics. I'm not talking about power in climbing the ladder in society. But I'm talking about power with God. And can I tell you, if you've got power with God, you won't need power with anything else. If a politician has power with God, he's got everything he needs. If a CEO of a company's got power with God, he's got everything he needs. Everything else might fall apart, but if he's got power with God, that's all he needs. You and I as believers, in this temple, if we've got it cleaned out so it could be a place of prayer and so the power of God can rest there so that we can be enabled to help others. You know what the thing is in our Christian life? We can put on the good outward appearance. We can go to church. We can read our Bible. We can do this and do that. But if we allow that temple to remain defiled, to remain dirty, for there to be things there that we know God wants out, but we let it stay there, we can't be a help to anybody else. You say, well, I've witnessed this person over and over and over again. Well, God isn't going to bless that witness because there's dirt in his temple. Now, please, let me put a disclaimer. That doesn't mean if you've been witnessed to somebody that's not saved, it's because you're defiled. There can be other circumstances. But that can be one of the reasons. Because God cannot use a dirty vessel. God needs a clean vessel. And you and I are the temple of God. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of power. Notice verse 15. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know what the house of God became when it was cleansed? A place of prayer, a place of power, and a place of praise. The children crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Verse 16. Hearest now what these say? And Jesus saith to them, Yea, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. When you and I keep this temple clean, it's a place of prayer, this communication with God. When you and I keep this temple clean, it's a place of power. We can walk and be at peace with God and at peace with men and have the success of God in our lives when the temple is clean. When the temple is clean, we're a house of praise. A lot of folks want to do it outwardly and don't have it on the inside. You know, that's just hypocrisy. We need to make sure it's as clean in here as we project it out there. Jesus had to come into this temple on two different occasions and clean the temple because God does not abide in a dirty house. Now, I'm looking at a bunch of folks here this morning, and I'm not your judge, but the Holy Spirit of God is. And if you claim to be saved, if you're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish, if you're a child of God trusting Him as Savior, He's looking at you individually, and you are His temple. When He looks at that temple that He has formed, when He looks at that temple that He has designed, that temple He lives in, what does He see? Does He see a purged temple? Does He see a pure temple? Does He see a place of prayer and power and praise? Or is your temple defiled? Is it clogged up? Is it dirty? Are there things there that don't belong there? Now, I said this, God will not abide in a dirty temple. That's clear. He won't go into it when it's defiled. He'll clean it out. But notice, He didn't desert the temple. He didn't go out of the temple and leave it alone. He came in and did something about it. If you're saved here this morning, you know the Word of God. If you're saved here this morning, nothing can take that away from you. If you're saved here this morning, you're saved eternally. You have eternal life. You're always, God's never going to move out. So if He's not going to move out and He's not going to abide when the house is dirty, what's the only option left? He's going to clean house. If you and I are saved this morning and we allow dirt to remain, God is going to clean it out. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it have been better for one of those religious leaders, those rabbis, to come into the temple and say, hey, wait a minute, I know what's going on here. It's not what it looks like. I know what's going on behind the scenes. We've got to fix this. We've got to correct this. We've got to take care of our own temple before God does it. If He'd have done that, it'd been a little bit easier. If you and I would take care of it, it'd be easier. Say, preacher, how do I take care of it? I'm glad you asked. Look back at the end of your New Testament. One more verse and we'll be done. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, back toward before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. A very familiar verse. How do we cleanse our temple? If I can leave you with anything this morning, you go out these doors, is you are the temple of God. If you're saved, you are the temple of God. And God wants to live in a clean temple. You need to make yourself clean inside. Inside. That's what God's looking at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So you're the temple of God. You need to remain clean. You need to get it clean before God has to come down and purge it. How do I get it clean? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, now who are we confessing to? We never confess our sins to God, to men. We confess them to God. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May I say this? 1 John is not written to an unbeliever, telling them if they'll do 1 John 1, 9, they'll become a believer. You read the beginning of 1 John chapter 1, he's writing to believers, that which we have seen, that which we have heard. He's writing to believers and saying, hey, we need to keep the temple clean, not just one time, but repeatedly. Jesus didn't clean the temple one time. He came back 3 years later. It was just as dirty as it was the first time. They didn't do a complete cleaning, a regular cleaning. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we take care of it, He won't have to. If we get down on our knees and say, God, You know the sin that so easily besets me. You know the sin that I'm struggling with. And yes, He knows. He knows the sins that we're weak against. He's our Father. He knows us inside and out. And we say, God, You know this sin and it's got control over me. It's demanding of me, and God, I want deliverance from it. When we tell Him that, that cleans our slate with Him. Now, we can't purposely go out and do it a second time. We might yield to a temptation and do it, but not purposely do it a second time, and you can't keep coming back. But He cleanses us when we deal with the clutter that's in our room. You can deal with it. or God can deal with it. It's much easier if you deal with it yourself. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to have you bow your head and close your eyes. And I believe with all sincerity that if you're sitting here this morning with the Spirit of God in your heart, that any time a preacher is opening the Word of God and preaching it, the Holy Spirit of God is taking that Word and drilling it inside of you and saying, here's how this applies to you. Here's what you needed out of this morning. And if you needed something out of His, you need to clean that house out. God is speaking right now and saying, take care of it before I do. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you can come and kneel at this altar if you want to. You can sit at that pew. You can bow your head there. But ask God to cleanse your temple. Let's stand together with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.